AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Boom, boom.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Just in, the U.S. military says it has ended its search for airborne objects that were shot down over Alaska and Lake Huron on February 10th and 12th because they have been unable to locate debris. Six people are dead after a shooting rampage through a rural Mississippi community. CBS's Dina Demetrius reports.
Authorities in Tate County say 52-year-old Richard Dale Crum killed a man outside this store around 11 a.m.
I heard the gunshot from inside my house.
Ethan Cash saw the attacker carrying a long gun and went to check on the victim.
I go up to the truck where a guy got shot at. I check his pulse and everything, make sure he's okay. He's already gone at this point.
Police say Crum left the store and gunned down a woman in her home. At some point, a sheriff's deputy spotted him in a car and took him into custody after a brief chase. But by then, four others were dead. Police say two were found inside a home and two more outside near the suspect's house in Arkabutla. Dina Demetrius, CBS News.
In Memphis, the five ex-police officers charged in the death of Tyree Nichols have been arraigned. More from CBS's Steve Futterman.
The five former officers had pleas entered on their behalf.
At this time, we waive the formal reading of the indictment off the court, a plea of not guilty.
One by one, their attorneys told the court they were pleading not guilty. Among those in the courtroom, Tyree Nichols' mother, Ravon Wells.
They're going to see me at every court date. Everyone.
Exactly.
And until we get justice for my son.
The officers are all charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and aggravated kidnapping. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A counterterrorism raid in northeast Syria leaves four U.S. service members injured. Three of the four had wounds serious enough that they needed to be evacuated to a military hospital in Germany. The U.S. military operation took out senior ISIS leader Hamza al-Hamzi, who supplied suicide vests to other operatives. CBS's David Martin.
An explosion during the raid also resulted in four U.S. troops and one other working dogs suffering some injuries.
U.S. Special Operations Forces went in by helicopter and surrounded a nondescript house in northeastern Syria. But as they closed in on their target, an explosion, either a suicide vest or a hand grenade, went off.
A heated school board meeting in Ocean County, New Jersey, following a recent suicide of a 14-year-old girl who was allegedly bullied. Current and former students accused administrators of ignoring the problem. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
During a heated school board meeting, student after student after concerned parent detailed incidents of bullying and violence they say the New Jersey Central Regional School District ignored.
I am going home. Scared, and I'm going home feeling threatened.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your name? Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your name? Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to,
or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. We are back on the no sour, haha, funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour, fun time, haha, power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. We are 1 hour away from the weekend. Cannot wait to have a couple days off. And so I hope you are excited. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the no sour, haha, funny power hour. Did I get it?
That was close. I think it should remain fluid.
Okay. I like that. I like that. We are obviously here with Jane Matinere, and we have a very loose, fun last hour of this week for you today. So start thinking at 1:30 about your opinions on the following. When is it okay to ghost? If you ghost, can you ever come back? And when, if ever, can you talk to your friend about how much you don't like or are worried about their current chosen partner?
Oh, that's a good one.
And so we have we will debate those and what and compare our feelings to New York Magazine at 1:30. So if you have thoughts on that immediately, please let us know. You can join the conversation on that topic at 844-967-2789, or you can always comment on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter on the live stream. But for now, Jane, gut instinct.
Yes.
Are rich people smarter than the rest of us?
As a whole?
In general.
No.
I would say that too.
No.
And now apparently there's a study that shows that.
yet another study. Yay.
Yet another study.
Good.
So this was one that, are rich people really smart? And I don't know if that means like, are they really smart or are they really smart? I don't know what the connotation and the tone is supposed to be when reading that. But this study found top 1% aren't any brighter than others with good salaries. With good, I think the caveat there being good salaries.
Good salaries, yeah.
And so this is a study out of Sweden that said making a six-figure salary does not necessarily mean you're the smartest person in the room, which I would agree with that.
Absolutely.
So much of it decides on what career you decide to take, right? But while people with higher incomes do tend to score higher on IQ tests, the association only goes so far. In fact, some rich people in the top 1% of earners display less intelligence than their peers earning considerably less.
Fascinating.
So I also feel like how much does this come back to there are different types of intelligence. And so how do you measure intelligence? Because I think there are some people who can just remember everything and like have photographic memories or can their recall for facts. Like I always think about that I feel like I have a very good vague, like it's like Brian Williams at the beginning of the show. It's like, I know that he recently retired. I cannot, without looking it up, I cannot tell you what year.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
And same thing with his scandal. I couldn't have, I know that that happened. I don't, and I know the story that he embellished took place in 2003, but I don't know what year the scandal happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's certain people who are really good at that
stuff. But that's recall.
That's recall. And then, like, I feel like I am good, a fairly good critical thinker. So given the information, I feel like I can make associations pretty quickly. I can make an argument pretty quickly. But, like, there's other types of intelligence that I know that I would just get smoked in by other people, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes whenever I see things like this, it's like, all right, what kind of intelligence are we talking about? But I also go to, what drives you? Like, I feel like people who are rich or become rich, and I think we can take out people who inherit wealth, which is a big portion of the population.
Yes,
who
it
has
is.
Wealth.
Yes, it is.
But if we take out the poor, if people who have, that's for this, then that's even a weird phrase, but like made their money. I also have often wondered, like, how much it has to do with you just wanting to make money. Because I would say, and this is not to disparage salespeople, but people who go into sales often are driven by money and can make a lot of it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think so often there is a trade-off between some people, the very rare air are the people who can do the thing that they're passionate about and are fulfilled by intellectually and emotionally and are still raking in the dough.
Yeah, that's almost impossible.
Right? Like, I think most the corporate secure life of a six-figure job with benefits and stock options and guaranteed, like, increases to your wage to keep up with inflation also often comes with the price tag of a soul-sucking, why do I care about this?
Cubicle job.
Yes.
Or in that case, probably a nicer office, but still.
Yeah, maybe not a cubicle, but it's got to be like, because that is so often how I felt when I was still in tech and doing sales was like, we're worried about what?
And why does this matter?
Why does this matter? Because the software for the company I was with for the longest sold a testing software for websites. So basically it was the first of its kind, and then it was fairly easy replicated. But it was basically allowing marketers to make tweaks to the website and then siphon off traffic to see different versions of the website to test how people interacted with it.
Oh.
So they could change a button and, like, the call to action on the button.
Okay.
Or change the wording and then be able to actually test and see how did people,
the users,
yeah,
were finding it.
And it all started with the two founders had worked on Obama's 2008 campaign. And they had been back-end coders, and they could do this testing on websites, but you needed to know a lot more coding to be able to do that kind of testing. And, like, they would do different tests, and he would, like, one option was the clear winner because he'd have a way more fundraising or, like, funds donated on this option versus this option. So it was a useful tool.
Sure.
But the way we talked about it, like, we were changing the world through data-driven decisions.
About website design.
About website design. And it was, you know, it's largely, it's like, let us make you, company, make more money. And that's all most of these jobs come back to. It's just like, if you are in a B2B company, you are trying to, your value props are basically saving time and or money one way or another for
right.
that company. And if you're a B2C company, you're basically trying to extract money or sell your audience as something to sell things to.
Yes.
And so, you know, like, ultimately, I think the price tag for most of these six-figure type jobs is to do something that every once in a while you're like, oh, man, this is pointless.
Or even more, couldn't I be doing something that would make a difference, even in a small way?
Yeah.
That would be more fulfilling?
So anyways, that is all to tie back to this study where it's like, I've never thought that people who are making in the 1%, first of all, I think a lot of people in the 1% inherited that. And certainly that does not make them smarter. But also even people who are making a lot of money, it's how are you measuring intelligence versus access?
Well, and access is a good point because a lot of it is connections. And a lot of it is nepotism.
What school you went to,
what, you know, clubs, your country clubs your parents belonged to. That, from what I understand, can be really useful when you're trying to climb the corporate ladder. And your dad and the company's granddad used to golf together. And you know what, son? I know you're just out of college and you have no experience, but come join our company and we'll start you at six figures.
Well, that's like one of the, that's like job application 101, especially with LinkedIn. Like when LinkedIn first started becoming really popular in the late 2000s, early 2010s, you know, you could do searches on people at that company who went to your school.
Oh, wow.
And so you could just send notes, like DMs or messages on LinkedIn and be like, hey, I see there's this opening at your company. I'm an alumni of so-so-so. And like trying to find the way in. And often that works, right? That it works as far as having some kind of like tribal recognition of mm-hmm. we were from the same, I can vouch for this person because I know we went to the same school or something like that. But it also, this is a somber note to end on, but it ties because I just came across this quote that I think is, so it's relevant, but here it is. I am somehow less interested in the weight and convolutions of Einstein's brain than in the near certainty that people of equal talent have lived and died in cotton fields and sweatshops.
Oh,
Stephen Jay Gould. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
It's so much more about access than actual intelligence or talent and luck.
An opportunity. Which is access also, I guess.
And so, anyways, I just thought that was interesting. I think it's interesting that people are studying that. I also wonder how wealthy the people who are studying it are.
That's a good question. I want to know how they got rich people to study them and what the pitch was. Because you can't just walk up to someone and say, I know you're really rich, but are you smart? Let's take a test.
And is it just IQ tests? Because I feel like IQ tests can be biased.
Maybe they just start with easy things like tying your shoes.
I asked Mike this morning. It was like, not just flattering me, but do you think I'm smarter than you? And he, without pausing, goes, yes. And I was like, all right, love you.
He also knows considerably early in your marriage how to make things smooth. So props to Michael.
Props to Mike. Happy wife, happy life. All right. When we come back, speaking of happy wife, happy life, we watched my favorite movie as a kid last night, and I have thoughts about it. So if you have strong feelings about the movie Newsies, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If I were a rich man, yabba dibba 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 dum, all day long I bitty bitty bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba dibba 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 dum. Who made the lion and the lamb? You decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal?
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 16. Winds out of the southwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 38. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 30. Overcast skies Sunday with highs around 41. 36, chance of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are rolling through this Friday. Kind of an easy show.
Easy breezy.
Easy topics. We had a good week.
We did have a good week.
We had a great
week. Some wonderful, wonderful guests.
Yeah.
And again, if you can, go back and listen to some of the podcasts. Again, I'm thinking about John from Monday, who lives near East Palestine, Ohio, where this train derailment went down. He just has really great perspective and some historical perspective, too, on how we got here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and it's interesting to hear him talk. He has such an interesting perspective as someone who's from that area, left, went to Cornell and went back. Right. I think as we were just having that conversation about access and someone who he talks about his opportunity to go to an Ivy League school, but he got there and very much felt like a fish out of water.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then, you know, later in life decided to go back. And what he's doing now as far as trying to make media do independent media for the rest of us, right? Or people who are left behind and make the connection so often with people who, you know, if they have politics at all, it's on the surface seems like it aligns with a lot of the talking points on from the Republican side of things. But as a dive bar bartender has these conversations, like it's so fascinating to hear him to have these conversations with people. And I actually said to Mike, I was like, we should go visit him. Wouldn't that be fascinating as far as be like a total different kind of culture shock of that exists in our country?
Yes.
Of just how people live, how people are, but still like the community that connects them in, mm-hmm. in that area. And so, but yes, definitely go back and listen to some of the podcasts on the YouTube channel this morning. I took out just the interview with Ron Johnson from yesterday.
Who was, we just couldn't have been more thrilled that he joined us again.
Do you think that precludes us from ever actually having him on the show?
We can always ask.
I always wonder that as far as how we progress in this show and invite open door for everyone and to want to have lots of different types of conversations with people from very different perspectives and sides of the aisle. But sometimes I also wonder, it's like, all right, well, if we do segments like that, where we're very much poking fun, are we setting ourselves up to basically never get a yes from any of these people?
Well, I guess it will depend upon what kind of sense of humor they have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And whether or not they can take a little gentle ribbing.
Because I think Ron Johnson used to go on The Devils a fair amount.
He did, at one time.
At one time.
At one time.
I'm not sure Robin Voss has ever gone on the Devil's Advocates.
And he just seems like a chucklemeister. I think he would just be so much fun to have on. And yeah.
I tried to ask that once of Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who was in the assembly before he left that seat to, and when he won county executive. I asked him on air and he politely declined to answer. I was like, who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? And he did not answer that question. But we could always ask
Todd.
But just, I wonder how many Todd, this is Todd Albo of the Todd Albo Show, which is on 8 to 11. He hasn't been in there for a little while, though.
True.
So it's like the current batch of GOP members versus, you know, pre-redistricting 2011. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know how much overlap there is.
There would
still
be.
Serving. I certainly know of the Democratic lawmakers, some who are very fun to drink with.
Oh.
I've done it with some of them.
Oh, care to share?
Fran Hong's very fun.
We've had Fran.
I don't think that's probably
that's
a surprise.
Not a shock. Yeah, we've had Fran on the show.
She might be the only one I've actually
had a drink with.
Everyone else other people I've hung out with and been at events and they are there and they are fun to talk to. But I'm not sure if she might be the only one I've actually drank with.
Well, I wouldn't expect a lot of them going to come forward to go drinking with you now.
That's fair. I'm not saying we got drunk. I'm just saying
I understand that.
Francesca's hot. She's very fun.
She is fun.
All right. Well, so you said earlier that you've never seen the movie Newsies.
No.
Man, we got to remedy that.
It was never even a blip.
And it's funny to think of. So the whole reason this came up was Mike has the idea that we should rewatch like our childhood movies.
Oh.
And so he has his list and I'm supposed to come up with my list.
Okay.
And last night I had hit a wall. And so I was like, I can't work anymore. So he's like, oh, what's first on your list? And the one that is always the first on my list, because I watched it, I think, almost every day before school, which was pretty impressive because watching it last night, it's not a short. It's not like a Disney. It is Disney, but it's not a animated film short movie.
Right.
It is 2 hours.
Oh, my.
And we watched it. I still know every single lyric. I was just singing along to everything and I was driving them nuts. But
any female characters in that movie?
There's two very small, like smaller female characters. There's the performer, Meta, who is played by Anne Margaret.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she has two songs of her kind of playing, like, it's not quite burlesque, but she is like a performer.
Sure.
And then there is the sister of one of the main characters who's the love interest of a young Christian Bale, who is the main character. But what I always love, and then of course I went down the Wikipedia rabbit hole last night, is this is based off of a true story.
Newsies.
Newsies is based off of, it was a 2-week strike of newsies, newsboys of Hearst and Pulitzer in 1899. And as I was reading the Wikipedia article that had links to actual historical events and who the leaders were and stuff, they did a pretty good job of sticking to it. And so what I want to know is, when is HBO going to make this into a gritty time, like period piece and limited series and take out the musical part of it, but actually tell the story? Because it is fascinating. So go watch Newsies. Let me report back if you think it holds up. All right. When we come back, what's your opinion about ghosting? What is the etiquette there? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News brief, the U.S. military stopping its searches for unidentified things it shot down last weekend over Lake Huron in Alaska. They are believed to be harmless. In a small Mississippi town near Tennessee.
I heard the gunshot from inside my house. I had just woken up and everything, and I look out the window and I see You know, dude walking back here with a shotgun.
The suspect is in custody in the shooting deaths of six people. The father of Tyree Nichols reacts to not guilty pleas by the five ex-Memphis police officers now charged in his death.
I had to be here today to make sure that justice gets done for our son. This is a glorious day. This is the beginning of the process.
In southern Turkey, more than 10 days after catastrophic quakes,
earthquake response teams say typically there is a 72-hour so-called golden window for rescuing those trapped under the rubble. But hundreds across Turkey have defied the odds, somehow surviving for more than a week without food or water.
Correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foody.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's 8 o'clock and we're ready to rock. Get your elbows off the table. Put your napkin in your lap. Stop playing with your food and join us in our rap. Check it out. This is how the table's set. Knives on the right, forks on the left. Spoons chilling next to the knife. Plates in the middle. And the glass is to the right. Utensils are used from outside.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
I said, I was like, do you want me to say this was anonymous? He goes, I don't care. So I got a text from Todd saying, Paul Ryan is actually a decent guy to get a drink with.
Fascinating.
That doesn't surprise me. I think Paul Ryan's probably a really decent guy. I feel like, I know, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there are people who you have policy differences with, and once they have power, it's much easier to feel like I despise you. No, you're not buying it?
I may have bought that a few years ago.
How many years ago?
A few. certainly before,
like pre-2016?
I would say pre-2016.
But that was when he had more power. I mean, he basically stepped down in 2018.
But he had an opportunity to wield some of that power, and I believe he chose not to do that.
Okay.
In a way that I would have appreciated.
So you're not going to drink with him anytime soon?
I'd buy him a... Absolutely. There's tons of things I would love to ask Paul Ryan, if given the opportunity, and a little... liquid libation.
There you go. There you go. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
That made my whole week, Todd.
And is as impersonable in person as you see him in public.
Ooh, this is a juicy hour.
He said Senator Rob Coles of Green Bay is a decent guy to grab a drink with.
Cool.
And then he said, oddly enough, Glenn Grothman, who doesn't really drink, is an interesting person to have dinner with. He's a conversationalist, a wacky one, but it is interesting. It is interesting conversation. And there you go.
Thank you. Thank you for
Todd.
That. Yeah, pulling back the congressional curtain. That's great.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I've heard Todd Novak's okay to have a drink with.
Yeah.
That was not from Todd Alba. That was from someone else that I won't name on air. But yeah. It's funny. It's interesting.
Well, you can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789 and tell us who you're running into in Madison and tipping a few.
Who have you seen at Jenna's besides Jesse Apoyan?
And hopefully we're going to talk to her next week.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. So back to some debates on etiquette. Now, this is... this has to do with ghosting. And we were saying before, that was not really as much of a... You certainly didn't call it ghosting, but well, when you were in the dating pool...
For people, explain what ghosting is.
Ghosting is when you are talking to someone romantically, and basically you just stop communication.
So this could be, you know, direct messages or texting. Is it more about what texting...
I think it's you've gone on some dates.
Okay.
Well, and that's what the first piece of etiquette is, basically when you can and cannot ghost. Because I would say my impression of times I have ghosted or have been ghosted is like you've gone on at least a couple dates. You have been texting. You have been in communication, especially in situations where the initial lust and excitement is pretty, you're both feeling it.
Okay.
And then without reason, one of you is just cold, just goes cold.
And goes away.
And just kind of goes away. And you're left with, why, what happened?
I thought this was going pretty well.
Yeah. Or like there wasn't an obvious reason or even any kind of conversation around, hey, this isn't really working out.
Sure.
Largely, it's seen as a way to not have that awkward conversation of, I don't see this going anywhere.
Right.
Because it is awkward, right?
Of course it is.
You're going to hurt someone's feelings no matter what.
Yes.
So, number one, see if you agree with this. Both at home, you can either text us, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment in the live chat. It's okay to ghost after one date. And then I'll give more context.
I find that an interesting free space. I mean...
I would say yes.
Yeah?
If it's only been one date.
Okay.
Because that's the trial period. It's like, sure. Oh, we met in person.
I wasn't really that into you.
Yeah. So you met up for a drink after work, discussed work, school, and siblings for 90 minutes, and ended the evening with a non-committal, let's do this again sometime. Now it's been 3 days, and you're wondering what you owe this person you don't particularly want to see again. You could send a text letting them down gently, but it's also fine to say nothing. At this point, neither of you has put so much energy into the interaction that it warrants a formal ending. And besides, nobody likes getting rejected by someone they didn't care about that much in the first place. I was going to ghost you! Oh,
that's painful, but true.
There are exceptions if you've been texting a lot after the date or you've clearly talked about going on another one. Then there is a social contract not to ghost.
It's hard. Do it.
I will say the preemptive, hey, I don't see this going anywhere, when you were feeling the same way, there is a pettiness to that that you didn't get to say it first.
So such are the pitfalls of dating.
So then this is one that I also definitely agree with and certainly have my own experience with. If you ghost someone, stay gone forever. Why? No take backsies.
Well, right. Why would you do this?
Oh, I have had what is there? There's a social media influencer named, her nickname is Tanks. I forgot exactly how it goes, but basically, like, with men, they either never get over you, or they always come back, or something like that. And in my experience, that is true. There has been the handful of times in a situation where I was talking to someone, and then it kind of fizzled out on their end. 4 months, 6 months, a year later, all of a sudden I get a DM or a text.
Really?
And like, hey, how's life going?
Just checking on you.
Just checking in. And it's like, what? What happened to you, dude? Like, just break up with someone? Like, what? Just wait. Why are you back? I feel, you know, I think I really messed up. And like, and now I'm happily married. So
I was going to say, obviously, none of those went anywhere.
But this is, I don't ghost people because abandonment is my. This is the person who wrote this, not me. I don't ghost people because abandonment is my central trauma, and passive aggressive has never been my style. I suppose I can understand the appeal of ghosting as an easy way to cut someone off for whatever reason or for none at all. What I cannot understand is ghosting someone and then coming back several years later to request a favor that would have been a considerable ask even if we had remained friendly.
Well, no, geez.
And so, yeah, I would say even without the ask, even just the friendly, like, what's up? Like, I think it's if you ghost, you're sacrificing any kind of friendly contact with that person. If it was a mutual fizzle, I think that's fine. Especially because, again, with the social media world, if you start following each other on social media and you're like, well, this wasn't really going to go anywhere, but we still follow each other and I have no ill will towards
you.
I'm fine laughing at this thing that you posted or liking that you got a promotion or whatever. Like, it's no skin off my back. All right. But this is the big one. If your friend is dating someone you seriously object to, you have one shot to sit down with your friend and say so.
It's very, very dangerous.
To say it at all?
It's very, very dangerous. You got to be, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Because you must have been in relationships that once they ended, your friends came forward and said, you know, I never really liked him. Because I have.
Yes, I have.
And if they had told me while I was still starry-eyed about this person, I don't know that I would have taken that very well. Because again, don't forget, if you're in the beginning of a relationship, which is when everything ostensibly is supposed to be really good, and you have that great fluttery feeling, and your best friend Julia says, you know what, I think he's a schmuck.
So you don't think that even... So this is what the rest of the advice says, or rule says. The conventional wisdom has been that unless your friend is being hurt, keep your opinion to yourself because it will damage your relationship. Our feeling is that you can share your reservations, but you have only one shot to do it. After that, your friend decides what they want to do, and you can't bring up your grievances again unless they ask. No eyebrow raises, no passive-aggressive observations either.
Do you really think that if Julia tells you, I think he's a schmuck, and that's all I'm ever going to say, that that's not going to stick with your friend, no matter how that relationship goes? What if Julia ends up marrying the schmuck? And now she knows you think he's a schmuck.
But do you just not, you as a friend, you just have to suck it up that your friend's dating someone and you have to live with the fact that you never said anything?
Until they give you an opening or an invitation. I think that's very bold. Maybe I'm wrong. 844-967-2789. I just think that's a really tricky, really, really, maybe it's easier for men to.
Oh, I don't think it's easier for men.
To warn them, to warn them off.
Better not. You think men are better communicators on average than women?
I just think they're more blunt sometimes. Would it be like, dude, I don't like her.
Is there a tactful way to do it that is not, I just think he's a schmuck? Could you,
I'm sure there's a more tactful way.
Like, is it, hey, this gives me pause, this aspect about him, or asking like somewhat leading questions? Because I had a short but intense relationship at one point. And one of my dear friends, who is the type of friend where we could go months, if not years, without talking to each other. But every time we actually, like, we were like bonded on a deep level.
Yep.
And I remember one time, because she had already moved and she had met this guy and didn't say anything. And then, whatever, within 10 months, that relationship was over. And I remember talking to her later. She's like, oh, yeah, I knew that wasn't going to go anywhere. I was like, why didn't you say anything? She's like, well, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. Like, and so it's potentially maybe also the weighing of, do you not say anything because you know it's not going to go anywhere?
Well, true. And hopefully it will burn itself out, right?
But what's the balance between I don't like this person versus they are a bad person? Right? Because like you can find someone to be deeply annoying, but they're not actually a bad guy.
True.
Like, I just, your jokes are not funny, man.
But you can't tell your friend Gary thinks he's hilarious and he's not. Doesn't she have to come to that realization on her own?
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying, as like being able to, because I said, if the friend's being hurt.
Yes. That's one.
That's
thing.
A different category.
Okay.
But the, as a friend, is, do you give the warning, this one warning that New York Magazine says you get? It has to be based off of like your concerns that this is going to go south, right?
Sure.
Which brings up a whole other topic. I've been watching on social media the amount of like fights that happen between couples because of that Tubi commercial. So the Tubi commercial on Super Bowl, where it was like Tubi played a prank, and the commercial looked like you were changing the channel. And so people started wondering, like, I asked Mike, I was like, are you changing the channel right now? What's happening? But this happened to everyone. And I've been watching videos of couples where the guy flipped out at his girlfriend and she moved out.
Wow.
Because she was like, if you get this angry over commercial, where is this going to go? And so I bring that up as far as like, if you as a friend can see, like, it's not that he's not funny. It's that, oh, I think there's underlining anger issues here. Are you obligated to bring that up? If you have thoughts, we will still continue this in our last segment. But for now, we are going to take one more break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The last ones left are what you'll use. And don't be a drip. Wipe your lips and mind your manners, man. So don't lick your lips and fingers too, but ask to be excused when you are through. Don't forget the words please and thank you. We said enough and now we're through, so you're hip.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 17. Overnight, under clear skies, southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Ice level off around 38. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows around 30. Cloudy skies expected Sunday with daytime highs approaching 41. 36, chance for snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we got 8 more minutes till the weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
I am actually having dinner with a good friend that I haven't seen in a while tonight. Tomorrow, my husband and I are going to go look for a door. Okay. We need a new door for, we need a new side door for the house.
Oh.
So, yes, it's very exciting.
Do you both have your criteria list of what you're looking for?
Yeah, actually, we do.
Do they match up?
Pretty closely. Okay. Pretty close. We've been married again. We've been together 21 years, so... Yeah, we don't have a lot of arguments about stuff like that.
All right. I feel like that is, I'm trying to think if that was Mike and I. I would want him to go do the work, but I would want to have an opinion about the final say. That's basically what we're doing with our carpeting right now. So we're redoing the carpeting in our bedroom, and we have tons of carpeting options right now.
Oh, gosh.
Because I feel like, I was like, I don't trust you just to pick one. I want input, but then you can... coordinate when they're going to do it and all that stuff. You can do that.
What are we leaning towards? Blue, green?
Just a beige-ish.
Okay.
We're going to do a deep green accent wall. I love a good accent wall. So.
Who doesn't?
But we're going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation party tonight at Marcus Performing Arts Center.
Wonderful.
And so it is Mardi Gras themed. And so I have a big a purpley sparkly dress that I'm wearing. But fun fact about it was... coordinated with, I guess, Michael Jordan's 60th birthday, because he on his to celebrate his 60th birthday, he's making a 10. It's not really coordinated, I should say that, but it is. We are going to make a Wish Foundation party tonight. And this also happened for Michael Jordan's 60th birthday in that he is making a $10 million contribution to Make-A-Wish America.
Wow.
Which is the largest individual donation the organization has received since its founding 43 years ago. And so he's been a longtime supporter of Make-A-Wish Foundation, but he's one of the most popular celebrities requested for granting wishes.
Okay.
But he's not the GOAT.
He's not. There is someone more popular than Michael Jordan.
Well, I think it's, in the way this is phrased, I'm wondering how much the person is requested versus how much this person has... granted, who has followed up on their request.
Okay.
But if you had to guess.
Tiger Woods?
No. I actually, at the break, I just scrolled through. He had some stupid tampon prank that he pulled on someone that he was golfing, I guess. And he outdrove this guy. So he passed him a tampon as a joke.
What?
I know. Tiger Woods is not necessarily. Oh, that's not someone I want to get a drink with.
Scratch that off my list.
John Cena.
The wrestler
and actor. John Cena, who last year set a Guinness World Record for wishes with 650.
Wow.
The next celeb, no other celebrity has more than 200.
So are these all personal appearances, or does this probably includes phone calls and videos? And
I don't know. I'd have to look up and see what all of his... like the wishes end up being, but that's a pretty big disparity.
Well,
that he's 450 higher than any other celebrity, the next closest.
And remarkably generous.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
terrific.
Isn't that terrific?
Yes.
John Cena, good guy.
And I suppose wrestling is one of those that has very wide appeal, especially for younger kids. Wrestling is still a big deal.
It is still a big deal. I always, it's funny to me because I never know who any of these wrestlers are until they become actors. Right? I think I maybe knew The Rock a little bit as a wrestler, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't know John Cena as a wrestler. It's like once they start making the transition from one type of entertainer to I show up in movies now.
Yeah.
Is when I actually learn about them. But Make-A-Wish Foundation has granted more than 500,000 wishes in total. And so
that's marvelous.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing that tonight, getting dressed up for a good cause.
And well done, Michael Jordan.
I know. You know, he's interesting because I think he's kind of an interesting character where I feel like had social media and like the access to famous people had been as prevalent when he was at his prime,
thank you, Don Lemon.
You know, I'm not sure he was the nicest guy either.
Oh no,
I think people kind of got to see that with The Last Dance and that documentary. Like people who are that competitive are not always
gracious.
That, like, I think the way it was put to me once is that, like, the reason why Michael Jordan had a gambling problem is because he actually thought he was going to win. He thought he was going to beat the house, right?
Oh,
like,
okay.
That's how competitive he was versus the actual, like, dopamine addiction of I just need to do
of doing it. Oh, that's interesting.
And so it's interesting to see his public persona as he's now gotten older, as I think it does for a lot of men, as far as the humbling effects of aging that it can have on you. And I think, you know, you watch his speech of when Kobe died and how vulnerable that was. But yeah, so at 60 years old, he's making a $10 million donation.
Well done. That's fantastic.
Which is good.
Yes.
So this has been a fun week, but now we're going to get some rest.
Don't forget to vote on Tuesday.
Yes. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. We will remind you plenty on Monday when we are back. But have a safe weekend. I guess enjoy the weather if it's going to be 40 degrees on Sunday.
You know, it might only be 19 right now, but it's actually not too bad outside with the sunshine.
It looks, yeah. Driving in was glorious compared to what watching out my window yesterday looked like.
No, it's really not too bad.
So that'll about do it for us. You should stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Our, I actually don't know what they have coming up today.
I am unsure. I believe Fancy Brian is on the road.
Yes, Fancy Brian was here, so I don't think he is here. So I wonder if Will is joining Luke today, or if you are listening to WXCO, you'll have the Chad Holmes show coming up. And then after that, you will have Matt Flynn, who I heard on Todd Apple this morning. It was actually, they also were talking about, from a legal perspective, what was going on with the Dominion Fox News thing, but he'll probably talk about that more on his show today. And then of course the show will end, the day will end, or at least the normal weekday lineup will end with Devil's Advocates at 4. But thank you for listening, thank you for texting, thank you for calling. We will see you on Monday. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Need a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.